Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I'd like to take just a moment to invite you to come be with us in any or all of our services. If you live in the Boone area and you do not have a church home, maybe you're looking for a church home. We're located 1 mile at Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we have a church website, MountLebanonBC.org. That's MountLebanonBC.org. And we'd love for you to come visit with us. You can go to the website and you'll find there all the pertinent information concerning that, directions, address, archived sermons, radio broadcasts, all of these things. So we'd love for you to come visit with us. We also want to say how much we appreciate our radio stations that we have the opportunity to be on. Right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone. This is our home station, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here each and every week. And then on Saturdays, we're on AM 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia. And also on Saturday, the noontime hour on 89.1 FM, The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. So we appreciate the opportunity to be on these great radio stations. We are in the middle of a study on the subject of the U.S. Constitution. This is would have been our fourth week in this study. And what I'm going to do today, I'm going to forego that. And what I want to do today is just give an update on the book challenge that's going on here in Watauga County. So we'll pick up with that subject again next week, Lord willing. But today we want to just give a little update concerning this book challenge. I went to the Board of Education meeting that took place Monday night, January 10th, and there were so many people turned out for the meeting that they had to move it from the Board of Education to the Watauga High School auditorium. And so they had the meeting down there Monday night, and there was a large turnout, and I didn't hear a number. I don't even think they gave a number of how many people that were there, but I would guess somewhere around 300 to 500 people. I don't know how many people the auditorium holds, but it was probably three quarters of the way full, maybe between a half and three quarters of the way full. So a lot of people turned out for this meeting. And I would say, I was trying to gauge the crowd, how many for, how many against, and by the sound of the clapping and just looking around, I think it was probably about 50-50. May have been a few more that were for the book than against, but again, that's just hard to tell because nobody was sitting in particular on one side or the other, but it looked like about 50-50% in the crowd for and against the book. And for those that have no idea what I'm talking about, I just want to give a little quick review about what's gone on over the past, I'm going to say, 6 months here in Watauga County. Last fall, the fall semester 2013 at Watauga High School, the sophomore honors class was scheduled to read a book. The name of it is House of the Spirits by Isabel Allende. And one of the parents became aware of the book, read the book beforehand, and was really disturbed by the content of the book, brought up the subject, I believe, first of all, to the teacher, didn't really get anywhere. Well, it went from there. It went to the principal. It went to the superintendent. It went all through up to the Board of Education. It went before a review committee and was recommended by the review committee. And then the last appeal in the process, it goes to the Board of Education, and they are to make the final decision. There's been articles in the newspaper. I don't know that people really write letters to the editor much anymore, but there's been a lot of comments. You know, you can go online now and read the newspaper, read articles, and people leave comments underneath. And so there's been a lot of comments concerning this book, both for and against the book. And it's a huge controversy in our community. In fact, through this radio broadcast, I've had calls from as far away as Tennessee and Virginia asking about what is going on in your county. What's going on in North Carolina with these books? And so I've tried to explain. And what we do, it does have a far-reaching impact. And so I wanted to just go over again what went on Monday night. That was the final appeal in the process. And now it is up to the Watauga County Board of Education. And after the meeting, they set a date of February 27th that they're going to meet again and, I suppose, make a final decision concerning this book. And they also had a makeup date of March 6th, but they're going to decide the matter within less than a month. But the Monday night was a time set aside for public comment, and you had to sign up to speak beforehand if you wanted to speak during the public comment. Well, there were so many people that signed up to speak upon the matter that what they ended up doing, they chose 10 speakers from each side, and they gave them 3 minutes apiece. And so you had 10 that were for the book, you had 10 speakers that were against the book, and that took up the majority of the time of the meeting. That part in itself lasted more than an hour. But I went to the meeting. I did sign up to speak, but I was not chosen. That's fine. I would rather the parents that were most directly affected right now would take that time. And there's a lot of speakers, those that were against the book. You know, I thought every one of them did an exceptional job in what they had to say. But the way I saw it at the meeting, there was one group that was there for the book. And they were there for the book. In fact, when I walked into the high school, I was immediately handed a piece of paper, and I accepted it, but it was for the book. And it said at the top, reasons to support House of the Spirits in the sophomore honors curriculum. And so they were there for the book. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph. It's a whole page. And actually, the first speaker sort of used these. He basically read what I'm reading to you, not verbatim, but he used these talking points. And they said, first of all, reasons to support House of the Spirits in the sophomore honors curriculum. Book choice is appropriate for honors students using state guidelines. That's what they said. Book choice is appropriate. It said House is included in the Common Core curriculum maps for English language arts. House fits the statewide 10th grade focus on world literature, including Latin America. An excerpt from House is in the textbook used by all North Carolina sophomores. House is determined by its Lexile score to be challenging for sophomore honors students. And Isabel Allende is a world-renowned, award-winning Latin American author. It is difficult to find a book which sufficiently challenges honor students, which doesn't include adult subject matter. The scenes objected to in the challenge represent 1% of the total book. And that is from the handout that I received, Reasons to Support House of the Spirits in the Sophomore Honors Curriculum. Now, they say that the scenes objected to in the challenge represent 1% of the total book. That, to me, is questionable. I have another handout from the other side. It's called Factual Discussion Points on House of the Spirits. And it says in this handout, the sexually explicit material and sexual references occur 59 times, one approximately every 7 pages. And I just wanted to read a little point from this handout as well about the House of Spirits. This is from those who were against the book. And it says The House of Spirits by Allenday contains over 50 depictions of sexual activity, sexual deviant acts, or genitals. This includes repulsive scenes, including a sex act with a corpse and child molestation. Many of the depictions either are highly repulsive and vulgar, or glamorize promiscuity or irresponsible sex. 26 depictions of sexual deviancy, such as prostitution, rape, sex act with a corpse, child molestation, and child rape. And I apologize for reading and dealing with a subject like this, and even having to say some of these words is embarrassing to me. When I was growing up, we were not allowed to say the word rape, even though I probably because I didn't know what it was. But so that's sort of hard for me to talk about things like this. But this is what our young people many times are up against in the public school system. But I have a copy of some of these excerpts from the book, and if I read them over the radio, which I am not going to do. In fact, one of the gentlemen that spoke last night evidently had spoken at another Board of Education meeting concerning this book, and he had asked them for permission to read an excerpt from the book, and they did not allow him to read an excerpt from the book in a public setting concerning the book at a Board of Education meeting. So they wouldn't even allow it to be read from. And I wouldn't read from it aloud in a room by myself. If I were to read some of the excerpts from this book over the radio airwaves, I'm sure I would get in trouble for that. I'm sure there are FCC guidelines concerning the use of obscenities over the radio airwaves. So I will not be reading from the book. I'm sure you could go online if you were so inclined to do that and read all you wanted to, or go to the library and get the book. It's not that it's not available. But as I read over the excerpts from the book, one of the most sickening and heart-wrenching was a part of that book where an old man, it says that he, it describes his fantasy that he would like to kill this little six-year-old girl, how easy it would be. He talks about he put his hand around her neck, how easy it would be to strangle her, and what little resistance she could give. And it goes on to describe in great detail about the joy he would get from doing that. And then he went ahead and he molested the little six-year-old girl. Now, that makes me about as mad as a bull, because I have a five-year-old, and I just cannot imagine even that being described in a short paragraph. My goodness, that ought to just disturb any parent or anybody with any type of moral guideline in their life whatsoever. But it goes into great detail about how this man molests this little six-year-old girl. When I first heard about this, in the interest of fairness, I started to read the book. I read about 20 pages, 15 to 20 pages. It didn't take me long for me to realize that I didn't need to be reading that book. I'm 44 years old. I'm a pastor of a church. I'm an adult, and have been for a long time. But I realized I didn't need to be reading that book. I'd read enough to see. I'm old enough to realize when something is dangerous to my mind, to my emotions, to my way of thinking. I realize that everything you read does affect you in a certain way. This is why in the Bible it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, just one verse, it says, chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So we are told in the Bible how advantageous it is to think on good things and pure things. And that is anything but what we find in the book, House of the Spirits. But I realize that when you read a book, you become the student. You are the learner. You're in the position of being the learner, the scholar, the student of every person that you read after. They are preaching a message to you, and I don't care what it is, religious, secular, fiction, nonfiction. When you read something, somebody is preaching a message to you through that book or through that article. And if you are a willing reader, which you have to be in order to read something, then you are willingly accepting that message into your mind. Whether you agree or not with what they're saying, you are being guided by the author. You're being led by the author, not the way you want to think, but they are leading you through their thoughts, through their way of thinking towards whatever subject that it is that they are preaching to you. Now, our minds that God gave unto us. Now, when I read something, I'm a very vivid reader. And I don't know about other people, but when I read something, I can imagine that very vividly in my mind. When I read stories in the Bible, I'm telling you, I've got just as clear of a picture of the battle between David and Goliath or Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. I can imagine that happening in my mind. The power of literature is very, very powerful. This is why God gave us the Bible in a written language we can understand. God understands the mind and the way we think and process things. I remember in high school reading Edgar Allan Poe's stories. I'm sure most everybody's familiar at least a little bit with Edgar Allan Poe, but he wrote what we might see today turned into a scary movie. And so he wrote this fiction, and I remember reading and how vivid he painted the pictures in his writings. I remember the one story about the heart. The man heard the heart beating, and it kept getting louder and louder. And boy, I can see in my mind's eye that heart beating underneath the floorboard in that house. I can hear it. I can see it in my mind's eye. Now, I can't remember a lot of television shows or movies that I've seen 30 years ago now, but I can remember the images that came to my mind through the reading of these books. And here is the danger in reading just anything, just any old thing. And let me tell you, this book, House of the Spirits, if that doesn't come under the category of just any old thing, then I don't know what else would, because it deals with everything. I mean everything. Sexual deviancy, violent pornography is in this book. And so if this is not the worst, I'm sure there's things that are worse, but you talk about just any old thing. Here's the danger of reading just any old thing. And some of the students that stood up for the book last night, they talked about how else are we going to understand? How are we going to feel? How are we going to experience these things except through literature? Well, there are some things that I do not understand, and there are some things that I do not want to understand. Here's the danger in just reading any old thing. Here's why the Bible says to think on pure things, not evil things. The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. But here's the danger. when you read just anything, there's some things I do not understand. For example, I do not understand for the life of me the attraction of same-sex whatever. That doesn't appeal to me. I do not understand that whatsoever. And I don't want to understand the thought processes that draws a man to a man or a woman to a woman. I do not understand how anybody could molest a little child or harm a little child like it talks about in this book. How somebody would get to the place where they would want to and enjoy and be aroused by murdering a little child, molesting a little child. Buddy, I don't understand that. I don't want to understand that. I do not understand how anybody could gain any pleasure from the crime of rape, yet it happens every day in our country. But when you read something like this and the way that it is described in this book, then what you are doing in your mind, you are going there to that place with that author in your mind. They are leading you there in your mind. They are guiding you through that experience the way they want you to experience that. Now, that's whether it's for the good or for the bad. That's any book that you read. The author wants to take you to a place and guide you through the experience for the good or for the bad. Now, a person who never thinks about something like that now has that seed planted in their mind. That's the danger of reading just any old thing, just for the sake of reading it, or for the sake of literature, or whatever it is. That's why I admire these young people that stood up last night and said that they had opted out of reading it. They realized they didn't want to read that. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Because when you read things, there's a seed being planted in your mind, and seeds that are watered down the road, they'll grow into something else. I'm sure many of our listeners remember the name Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was one of America's most notorious serial killers. He killed, actually what he did, he raped, killed, dismembered, and hid over several years 28 women and young girls. Ted Bundy was executed on January the 23rd, 1989, and before Ted Bundy was executed, he did an interview with Dr. James Dobson that used to be with Focus on the Family. And during that interview, and I went back yesterday and I watched the whole thing, and it is hard for me to watch that, but I have a copy of that in my library at the house. And I went back through and I watched that interview that Dr. James Dobson did with Ted Bundy the night before he was executed. And he asked him, Dr. Dobson asked Ted Bundy, how did you get started down this path? And Ted Bundy said he couldn't blame anybody or anything, that it was his actions. But he did say that when he was 12, 13, 14 years old, that he had found or come across by accident some pornography that got him started down this path, and that put a taste in him where he began to go through the neighborhood and actually dig through garbage cans, and from time to time he began to find violent pornography. He talked about detective magazines even that had great descriptions of this, what is described as violence in pornography. And he said about that violent pornography, and it wasn't pictures to begin with. You got to realize that it was things that he was reading and putting these images in his mind of this violent pornographic literature. And that is exactly what you find in this book, The House of Spirits. I would describe as violent pornography. There's all kinds of things in there. So there was a group there that was there for the book. They said over and over again, we're here for the book. We want these children to read the book. Young people stood up, want to read the book. But quickly, I see my time is about gone, there was another group there that was not for the book. They were for the child. And they were concerned about the impact that this type of literature would have upon all of the children. It reminded me of a account in the Bible. It begins in 1 Kings chapter number 3 and verse number 16. But I'll quickly summarize. King Solomon is a young king, and he has two women that are brought before him. Their case, their legal case, goes all the way to the Supreme Court, to the highest court in the land, and they end up in the court of King Solomon. Both of these women claim to be the real mother of one living baby. Now, you can go over there and read it for yourself, but they were both harlots. They lived under the same roof. One of the ladies laid on her baby during the night, and the baby smothered and died. So that woman, she took the living baby to herself. She put the dead baby in the place of the living baby. And so here's two women, one living child. Both of the women say, the child belongs to me. King Solomon ordered a sword to be brought unto him. He said, bring me a sword. What are you going to do with that sword? He said, divide the child. Take the child and cut it in half. Give one half to one woman and one half to the other woman. The Bible says that one woman, the real mother, it says that she yearned upon the child. That means her heart went out to the child. And she said, let it live. Give her the child. The other woman said this. She said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. And by their reaction, King Solomon knew who the real mother was. And again, in closing, I say this. There were two groups at that meeting last night. One group was there by their own testimony for the book. And not just for that book, but other books like it. All types of literature like that. And I want to say they need to come up with some guidelines about what books they allow. That would solve the problem to a great extent. But one was there, one group was there for the book. The other group was there, and their concern was for the child. And so I hope today that the Board of Education in Watauga County has enough wisdom to discern which group they need to side with. They are either going to decide something that is going to be very destructive to children. I know how people are. Oh, 100 people could read that book, and it wouldn't bother them a bit. What about the one Ted Bundy in the group? And don't think that there's not people out there every day that have these thoughts in their minds. And what could be prevented from planting that seed in their mind is what we're talking about when we're talking about not requiring this for them to have to read in their class. But anyway, the Board of Education, they're going to do something either very destructive to the children, or they're going to decide something very protective of the children. So we need to pray for those in authority over us. Pray that they'd have wisdom, and we need to pray for our community and those that are in it. And so we see our time is quickly coming gone today. I do want to say this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. The address for correspondence would be 1128 Baird's Creek Road in Vilas, North Carolina, 28692. Or you can call the church phone number, 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. We also have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org. You can correspond through the email, the contact us button there, mountlebanonbc.org. We appreciate you listening. Have a great day, and God bless is our prayer.
local news and information with Roten in the Morning, your favorite news talk throughout the day on AM 1450 WATA. Boom.